Live from Studio 89, overlooking Lake Michigan from downtown Chicago, it's another Big Hour where Chicago comes to talk with Paul Harris on the Big 89.
Thanks for joining me Saturday mornings from 5 to 8. I'm here to start your weekend off on the right note. We're going to talk about the U.S. healthcare system now, which is in desperate need of some help. Dr. Dennis Gottfried is joining me. He's got a new book out called Too Much Medicine, in which he talks about how our healthcare system overtreats and overspends and overmedicates. Dr. Gottfried, welcome to the Big 89 WLS.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show here today. You say too much medicine. Does that mean that we're taking too many pills?
Well, it means that we're doing too much of everything. We're doing too many procedures, too many testing, too many prescriptions. Too much of anything, obviously, is not good. And I'm writing this book to show people how medical decisions are made and how it often ends up that way.
Why are we doing so much testing, et cetera?
Well, I think it has to do with the way medical decisions are made. I'm a physician in private practice. I've decided to write this book to show how medical decisions are made. Most books of this sort are written by people other than me.
Yeah.
They're written by academicians who are distant from direct patient care. They're written by people who are politicians, people who are investigational reporters. So I wanted to show how a doctor who's in the trenches, who deals with people on a day-to-day basis, how doctors, nurse practitioners, physicians, assistants make decisions. The major way people make decisions in healthcare is what's the best care for the patients. Doctors are good people. They want good results. They like when patients come back feeling better after a course of treatment. But other factors play a role in how procedures are ordered, how medications are prescribed, and those have to do with less noble factors. Doctors, hospitals, nursing homes are all businesses. They're bottom-line driven, and often economic concerns play a factor. Consumer demand plays a factor. Patients come to the doctor. They have certain preconceived notions of what they want from the healthcare system. And doctors have to often acquiesce to patient demand, even when it's more expensive and even when it's not better care. And last, avoidance of malpractice plays a role in every decision. These other factors increase the cost and actually make quality of healthcare worse.
When you say that the patients have an expectation, do you mean, for instance, I have the flu, I come to you, I don't just want you to tell me that I have the flu and eventually the virus will work its way through my system, I want you to give me something and I end up with antibiotics that aren't going to help me?
Absolutely, absolutely. Patients come with ideas of what they want, and maybe something I heard from a family or friend, it may have been something I read online, it may have been an advertisement from a pharmaceutical company, from a medical advocacy group, American Heart Association, American Cancer Society, and they have certain expectations. For example, and my book is full of examples, in England they do not do screening for strep throat. And if you have a strep throat, you get better in 3 to 5 days with treatment or without treatment.
Huh.
The main reason to treat a strep throat is to prevent rheumatic fever, which occurs after a strep throat, but it occurs almost exclusively in people between 3 and 18. But in America, if you come to me with a sore throat, you expect to get a strep screened. And if you have a prolonged cold or respiratory infection, you expect to get an antibiotic. It's part of our expectations.
And all of that is helping to drive up our costs?
Yes, it does two things. One is it increases the cost. And the second thing it does is it does not improve the quality of health care. And in fact, it often makes the quality of health care worse. For example, when the one you just cited, which is the overuse of antibiotics, we've developed antibiotics that are resistant to many of the common bacteria that are resistant to many of the common antibiotics we use. And that's because of overuse of antibiotics.
Talking with Dr. Dennis Gottfried, who's got a new book called Too Much Medicine, A Doctor's Prescription for Better and More Affordable Health Care. Whenever we talk about the health care system in this country, and particularly health insurance, somebody always says something along the lines of, look, we want doctors and patients making medical decisions. We don't want bureaucrats making them. We don't need the government involved in that. But isn't it true that because of the way our health insurance system is set up now, that more often than not, it is a bureaucrat who decides what you can have and what you can't have because of how you're covered?
Yes, that's a good point. What happens now in healthcare, we have to understand where we stand. We have a system that's over-specialized. An ideal healthcare system is 30% specialist and 70% primary care doctors. Our system is 70% specialist and 30% primary care doctors, so we have a glut of specialists. Specialists create their own demand. You have more specialties, do more procedures. For example, the number of cardiac catheterizations than anywhere in the United States does not depend on the amount of coronary artery disease. It depends on the number of cath labs. More cath labs, more cardiac catheterizations, more bypass surgery, more procedures.
You're telling me that those labs and those physicians and those doctors and researchers aren't there to meet demand, but their presence creates the demand?
That's right. There's a threshold of specialization you need to provide optimal care. America is far in excess of that threshold. Doctors create their own demand. If you come to me, and I'm a general internist, and you have hypertension, if it's a quiet day, I could say, look, come back to see me and follow up appointment in 2 months. If it's a busy day, I could say, look, come back in 6 months, and you will do whatever I tell you to do.
Yeah.
Now, for me, for you to come back earlier or later, it may be a slight increased expense for you, and it may be a slight inconvenience, but it's not a danger. If I'm a surgeon and I create my own demand, it could present a danger if excessive surgery is done. And that's true. That's what happens in America. The number of hysterectomies done in any area does not depend on the amount of gynecologic pathology. It depends on the number of aggressive gynecologists. The more gynecologists, the more hysterectomies, regardless of the amount of gynecologic pathology.
Is there a fact?
We create our demand.
Is there a factor of fear built into that? Are we being scared by our own healthcare system?
Are we as consumers?
Yes.
Well, we should have a healthy skepticism. What we should do is when we go to the doctor, as I said, there are other motives that drive tests and procedures and medications. And when we go to our physician, we should ask, is this really needed? And often we'll be surprised how often things are not really needed. They're done for things other than optimal health care.
So if we're going in there with a preconceived notion, we got to take that out of our mind and think to ourselves, do I really need to get this extra test or that extra test, and actually come right out and ask the doctor? Is the doctor going to be honest with me, or are they trying to protect themselves because, as you mentioned before, the threat of malpractice lawsuits?
Well, the threat of malpractice lawsuits is very real. Every year in America, one half of all neurosurgeons, one third of all OBGYN doctors, one third of all plastic surgeons, one third of all emergency room physicians, one third of all orthopedic surgeons are sued. So if they practice defensive medicine, that's realistic. So we have to understand that's built into the system. But consumer demand works. It works certainly for direct-to-consumer advertising for pharmaceutical companies. A poll by the FDA found that 7% of people receive medications from their doctor because they requested it as a result of an advertisement. So it works. It's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Wait a second.
Wait
a second, doctor. You're telling me that all those commercials say, ask your doctor about blowblacks or whatever it is.
Yes.
That people are actually going to their doctors and asking and insisting that, oh, I must need that because I want to run through a field of wheat.
Yes, it works. That's otherwise, the pharmaceutical companies are very smart. They wouldn't be advertising if it didn't work. And it works. And like I say, the FDA has looked at people, and 7% of the people polled receive medication that they requested from their physician as a result of an advertisement.
Have you had people come into your office and ask for that, and you've had to say to
yes.
them, look, that's for pregnant women, and you're a 42-year-old guy?
Well, there's obviously cases that they're not indicated, but sometimes the indications are very marginal. Often there's a generic medication that's just as good. But at the end of it, I want a satisfied patient. I want a satisfied consumer. And so I run a business, and I will often acquiesce to consumer demand, even when it's more expensive, so that I have a satisfied patient.
Whenever politicians talk about health care reform, one of the first things they say, which always comes off as a lie to me, is America has the best health care system in the world. Is that anywhere close to true?
I think that's a statement of faith more than of science. When the World Health Organization ranked health care systems in the world, United States was 37th between Slovenia and Costa Rica.
Wow.
A previous World Health Organization had a 72nd between Bhutan and Argentina.
Oh.
And for the amount we spend on health care, we deserve to live in a higher rent district. people will argue. They'll say, look, we understand we don't rank high in these rankings, but if you're sick, America's the place to be sick. There was a there's a statistic called death before age 75 that can be averted with medical treatment. This evaluates how people who have cancers, heart disease, serious medical problems are treated. Compared to seven developed countries, we were evaluated, the United States came in seventh. It might be argued that we have close to 50 million Americans uninsured. So if you're insured, America's the place to be. When the top 10% of American wage earners are looked at, all of whom have health care, and they're compared to the top 10% of people from England, and objective parameters of health care are measured, America does worse.
Okay.
It's very, very hard to say that America does well compared to developed countries. We do well compared to third world countries, but compared to comparable developed countries, Japan, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Europe.
As a physician, give me a few ways that the United States can make its health care better and more competitive with some of those countries you just mentioned.
Well, I think, you know, from the consumer point of view, the question I stated before is probably relevant. The people need to ask if this test is really needed, and often they'll find out that it's not. I think as a for policy decisions, I think we need accountability in health care. We need to provide care that is either a high likelihood of working or as a proven benefit. And in fact, we do many things in America for things other than proven scientific benefit. I think we need to reform the malpractice system. We have to take away direct-to-consumer advertising. We have to cut the number of specialty training programs in America. We have to develop a healthcare system that provides the best, most cost-effective healthcare possible for Americans. And unfortunately, many of the things I say are not politically tenable. I think healthcare, as many things are in our country, has been a bipartisan failure. I don't think the Republicans have done well. I don't think the Democrats have done well. I think that the decisions you have to make in healthcare are so difficult and will be so hard for the public to accept that neither party is really willing to embrace them.
Nice to hear these things said by somebody who's on the front lines, and I appreciate your time today. The book is Too Much Medicine, A Doctor's Prescription for Better and More Affordable Healthcare. You can order it right now from Amazon.com. It was written by Dr. Dennis Gottfried. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 89 WLS.